Sound better, huh? All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. And I don't know why I always say all right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. It's Monday, so that means Sandy Williams is back in the house. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right.
I forgot.
Yeah.
How you doing, Sam?
You're too sweet, Earl. I'm doing great.
All right.
Thank you, Sandy, for asking.
Didn't you remind me? I should have acknowledged Sam first.
Well, the proper sequence there, yeah, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, all right, Sandy, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I spent the weekend down with some grandchildren at a hockey tournament at Notre Dame University, and holy cow, that place! I've never been on the campus before, but everyone who was there who were Notre Dameites were telling me all the new construction that had happened, and they were not exaggerating.
Have you seen the Golden Domes before?
I hadn't seen the Golden Dome. Yeah, there it was.
So how impressive must that be?
Well, it looks like some European church. It looks like something that was built in the 1800s, and I guess maybe it was.
When you approach this, you probably can see the domes from, and they're glistening, right?
Yeah, no, there's just one dome.
Oh, okay, I thought there were domes.
No, I did too,
yeah.
But there was just the one. And it's sort of, it's amidst the buildings, you know, you got to sort of come upon it. But again, I can't tell, I was sort of blown away by the opulence of the campus, and it's unbelievable. 8,000 students, you know, this football icon, has 8,000 students, undergrad, 8 or 9, and probably 4,500 men. How do they do this?
Since you mentioned that, one of the things that they've been talking about a lot is, you know, the student loans. That's back in the news. And man, you know, there's no way they're going to be able to waive these student loans. People are going to have to, eventually they're going to wind up paying these student loans, right? I mean,
the federal government holds a bunch of the loans. I haven't figured out just exactly what the legal mechanisms need to be for there to be forgiveness. But apparently, by executive fiat, they are able to defer the repayment of the loans. Defer them.
And interest-free.
Yeah, and they've continued to defer payments interest-free for, it's been years, I guess, now. It's the beginning of COVID, basically.
But that's going to change the government itself.
Well, there's a dispute going on in the government. I mean, the progressive wing of the party wants loans to be forgiven, and I haven't figured out whether they want it to be forgiven by some executive action or whether there's a legislative action that's required, but by the nature of the dispute, it looks like there are at least those in that wing who believe that the president has some unilateral powers because they keep sort of exerting pressure on the president to take steps in the direction of forgiveness.
So the reason I brought that up is you were talking about the opulence of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it's not just Notre Dame. I mean, it's universally. You know, you went to school a couple of years ago.
I did.
And I'm sure the opulence of the campuses weren't there. I mean, probably for the time, that point in time, maybe people could have said the same thing about the universities you were at. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, I went to Harvard College, and it was and Harvard has an endowment now
of
$40 billion, and they're now doing all kinds of things there to make the campus sparkle in ways that it. When I was there, it was crusty, you know, it was old and revered, and it was very nice, but it was old. And now they're renovating everything, and there's lots of money being spent at the fine universities, but you know the tuition, and I haven't done the CPI index to figure out whether the tuitions have gone up in real dollars quite as much, but I'm confident they have, because I think the tuitions now for these private schools of the top tier, I know I looked up Notre Dame, I think it was $56,000 annual tuition. And I think that Harvard and the Ivy League schools are all that same range. There's lots of student aid being the schools with big endowments are able to give student aids. I know that, for instance, Harvard has a policy where if a family earns less than $85,000, the student pays no tuition. So,
so is there an argument to be had about the universities and what, you know, they cost and what they're doing, that at some point in time the universities need to kind of reel in the cost?
Well, there's no question in my mind that the advent of federal student loans put money in the pocket of the buyers of university services so that tuitions could go up, because tuitions have grown faster than inflation, and there was a burst in tuition prices that went up as the student loans came on the market, because now the schools, in fact, schools have major parts of their admissions group that provide advice to the students as to how they can borrow money. And and that helps the student have enough money to pay the tuition that the school is now charging.
The Dickens, you say.
Yes. it's like, psst, come, you know, come, I can help you borrow money.
Yeah.
And students are therefore, you know, getting saddled with a fair amount of debt, and the tuitions have gone up undoubtedly as a result of it. And it's kind of a hard thing to sustain. I mean, I think schools, private universities without big endowments, have difficulty. I was on the board of a couple of schools. One was the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, not a well-endowed school. And they are basically tuition-driven. And for many of these private colleges, students will pay only, on average, about 50% of the listed tuition. The tuition's like a manufacturer's suggested retail price of a car. Nobody pays it.
Right.
You know, it's all discounted. And it's all become very odd, I would say, in terms of the way that the schools finance themselves and the way students are forced to finance their educations. And that difficult model, business model, for private schools means that private schools over these next 5 to 10 years are facing rough sledding, and a fair number of private schools are going out of business each year. This is a tough time. The student enrollments are going down. The number of high school graduates is declining some. So this is a tough time, particularly for private schools.
You know, Sandy, you, in the midst of all of what's going on with the student loan situation and more high school students graduating, and not that the sheer numbers of them are going to be higher because the baby boomers, you know, were at the peak of that, and now the young people that are going out and less of them going to the universities. But you got to figure that parents are looking at this now in the face of all the information that's been out about, you know, the debt. And parents, you know, there was a time when parents paid, sacrificed, and paid their children's tuition.
Yeah, I would say
that's almost an impossible thing to do now, right?
Because tuitions have gone up quite so very much, yes, it is very, very difficult. I mean, you picture someone going to Notre Dame and paying the full tuition, $56,000 a year. That's $224,000 for the college for 4 years, and that's not including room and board.
Oh, that doesn't include room and board?
No,
never does.
No, I believe that's just the tuition. So, I mean, you can see what a steep hill it is to climb if for people to pay the full tuition ride. And what's happening now is that, you know, the birth rate's gone down in this country, and the birth rate went down. I mean, the number of high school graduates is such that even the UW system is feeling a decline in enrollment. And when they do, the private schools seriously do. And so private education, which is a very fundamental and important part of America's collegiate education, is stressed and is going to be stressed. And I think that student loans changed the way parents viewed their obligations to their children to pay for school. It also changed the constraint on the expenditure of money by schools for expenses, so that I think that it changed the complexion in some respects of American society. Because when I went to school There were no student loans, and between the child working while they went to school and their parents contracting their expenditures to tighten their belts and pay for, that's the way school was paid for, and parents expected that. Now I think middle-income parents expect to keep buying boats, trailers, and things they like while their kids go to school. They don't want to sacrifice, and they don't have to, they think, because this kid is going to school, getting this new asset of a college education that'll make them potentially able to afford that loan, which incidentally isn't working out that well for lots of college graduates.
Sam is shaking her head in agreement with you.
Yeah.
She's newly graduated a few years ago. So, but you know, Sandy, the more when you talk about this, the deeper that you have to really think in our nation, another one of those things they got to really think long and hard about, because people are looking and saying, well, my kid is not dealing with that right now. They're beyond that, but they've got grandchildren.
Well, and you know, and the other thing that it's changed is what colleges teach. Collegiate education used to very commonly and most commonly be a liberal arts education, classical training, critical thought, and people would then go on to graduate school to polish the apple into whatever it is they were going to do for a living. Now, because the debt level is so high that students are incurring to go to school, the students themselves and their parents are saying, what are you going to teach my kid so he can get a job?
So hang on. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.